Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Craig David, and you're listening to Dan Wootton's Bizarre Life podcast, the only place for you to hear in-depth interviews with the biggest names in the world. Stay tuned to hear me talk about my brand new album, The Time Is Now, and me performing at the Epic Glastonbury. Make sure you subscribe so you get every interview for free, and check out Dan's other interviews with Emily Sandy, Shawn Mendes, Oli Mers, and loads more.
Craig David, let's talk about your bizarre life. Welcome to the pod.
Love to be here, man.
When you look back on your last couple of years, it has been a real process, as you say, to get back to music credibility. So did that mean on the last album that you felt you had a real point to prove? Because you did get right back into the charts again, which is something that a lot of acts from your generation just simply haven't been able to do.
I think there's so many different avenues now for music to be seen. So you've got your social media side of things, you've got your YouTubes, you've got your podcasts.
Yeah.
So there's other ways that an artist can be found. I think for up and coming artists, it's amazing now because I didn't have a lot of those avenues. Yeah. There was a period in my career I was like, you know what? I've got all this creativity in me. And I just felt like I just needed to embody everything that I'm about musically because I knew I could do that again if I just got back in the studio, put down the past and not to neglect it and not be proud because I'm proud of everything, but to realize that I'm going to go back to selling no records right now. And you're the top boy right now. And I've got to come through like a new artist and bring it. And I think that for me to have been able to achieve that was a beautiful moment to see that I was slowly connecting again. Because I knew I always had a song in me. But you just got to give people a reason to want to hear those songs, you know?
I came to the UK at the end of 2004. And I'd been a huge Craig David fan in New Zealand because you were a big, big name over there as well. And I remember going to see you at Somerset House in 2005. Yeah. And it still felt like, you know what? It's cool and acceptable at this point to like Craig David. And then, very quickly, there was just some type of shift in public perception. And as I say, I mean, I don't care if I love an artist, I'm always going to love an artist and support an artist, and I always did. But there was just a change in perception and what people thought of you. And for a long time, you were living overseas as well, weren't you? So I guess, yeah, you can say it's about your own music, but there must have been something about that being really difficult to accept because so recently beforehand, you had been very much accepted as a big part of the British music scene.
When I saw myself singing songs like Sitting at the Dock of the Bay,
yeah,
but exactly the same as the original. I mean, in terms of I loved it, the album was great if you were listening to it and you loved covers. But when I thought of what I was representing when I came out of the box with Rewind and Fill Me In and 7 Days, cultural things, songs that people were connecting. And I'm now singing covers. And at this point, I was like 27, 28 years old. And I was thinking, I'm so far removed from where I really am. And I think from that, it was a blessing in disguise for me to, one, the spending the time in Miami was very much about sun, palm trees, live the dream. So I was definitely going there for that reason. But in that period of time, it allowed me to reset musically, allowed me to connect with what music was going on, and for me to realize that Miami wasn't the place for me to be. Contrary to popular belief of maybe reasons why I might have gone to Miami and what was going on, actually, it was musically, I felt so removed from what I was, my organic self, my authentic self.
And so when you say what the preconceived notions were about why you moved, I mean, was it Bo Selector and the fact that you wanted to get away from the country? Is that what you think?
I think a lot of people felt that it did a lot more damage than actually it had done to me. I mean, for me, I was like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's something that at the time, it had its moment. But musically, underlying that. That's why I say I always take things on the chin. Mm. It's like, I've got to look at what is the lesson to be learned from this? What is this? Because if I was having number one records at the time, or I was selling millions of records at that time, that easily could have slipped under the radar. The mindset is like, okay, his reaction is go to Miami. The reaction is to get away from it. No. I've never been a one to run away from such situations, because it's funny. It's like relationships. Like, you're in a relationship and it's like you move to a different country thinking it's going to be all different, and then you still get the same kind of relationships happen around you. It's not where you move to. It's you. You've got to actually be the change. So I've realized that Miami was cool. I spent more time there, enjoyed the lifestyle, realized that it wasn't about the flash cars. It wasn't about the house I was in. Actually, it was about putting people in my home and having a great time and throwing a house party and connecting. That's what actually Miami was for me.
Now, what about love? Because I guess that is one other thing that you could maybe have in your life to make it a little bit more perfect. Is it something that you're looking for? Do you want to be in a relationship? And what do you make of the fascination about your love life that people seem to have?
I didn't know there was a huge fascination, to be honest. But when the right person comes into your life, you just know. It's not a looking for thing. Because another thing about being aware with relationships and with love is that love is something. How can I love someone fully if you haven't fully learned how to fully accept your authenticity and love yourself fully? Do you know what I mean? You've got to be able to be open in yourself before you can love someone else.
And are you now?
I'm so much more. Right now, I'm a balanced human being, and I'm still learning. Don't get me wrong. There's so many things that I'm learning along the way, but you have to be open for it. Do you know what I mean? And I think if you're always saying, oh, I'm too busy, or I'm doing this, or it's just all excuses, ultimately. You want to share time with somebody and enjoy that. So if that happens, it will happen. But it's not something that I look to, because if you look to, it's sort of saying that, well, I'm not complete because I need someone else. And then that neediness is never to be in a relationship when you're basing it on neediness. It's like, you're my other half. It's a bit of a Hollywood kind of move, that whole thing, because then you're like, but if I haven't got my other half, then I can't function. Well, no, I can function fully, very, very well. But it would be amazing to share my journey with somebody. And that's the big difference, you know what I mean?
Do you see yourself as someone who wants to settle down? Do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids?
I'd love to have kids. And I think I'd be a very good dad. And I think I'd have a lot of wisdom to share.
You would.
You know what? I just still feel like, but again.
But you are only 36. You've got a lot of time.
But yeah, but even like the age, I just feel you just know.
Yeah.
You'll just be with someone and you'll be like, you won't think about it. You'll just be like, I want to have children with you. And this is just feels right. Rather than, well, the time's ticking and you've got the clock, and that's all nonsense. Because I think if you start to get into that, then it's, you're doing it for some sort of society's kind of way of life of how things should be.
What do you think? Because it's been such a big change since you were first around. Obviously, we now live in the social networking, the app generation. I mean, have you ever checked out Tinder? Maybe not with your actual face, but maybe you could just put your torso on there, Craig. You would still get a lot of interest.
No, I'm not really on the Tinder flex, but to be absolutely honest.
But it has changed the way people meet.
It definitely has changed that. But I don't necessarily look at it as a negative. I think you look at it and you can always find the negative and positives in both. I think positively, it's opened up. Like, people are connecting with people all over the place now. But don't get lost in a world that maybe is not so real until you physically meet someone. I mean, that's never going to change. That's why me going out and performing live, there's never going to be a feeling like a live event or going to watch a football match.
And we're obviously talking a lot more about people's personal lives these days. I know last year when you came back with the album, you did a big interview with The Guardian, I believe, and they put a lot of focus on the issue of sexuality and your sexuality because you hadn't settled down with someone. What do you make of that? And do you think it's unfair?
I leave it very open, because at the end of the day, it's one of those things where I shouldn't have to reinforce and state, no, I am heterosexual and this is what, nah, because that's still nonsense. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know. And it's like, I think it's very evident in the way my songs are and how I speak about relationships. So I wouldn't even go into it let me try and be like, no, I'm not. Nah. It's like, if that's what you feel, that's what you feel. Yeah. Because the only person that it really matters is the relationship that I'm in. And I know.
But there is a lot more fluidity in the world now when it comes to sexuality. And you've seen a lot of pop stars talk about that and be very open about that. I mean, I interviewed Harry Styles earlier this year. He said he wouldn't define his sexuality anymore. I'm of the belief that everyone is a little bit bisexual. That's a controversial view as well.
Say as you feel, man.
But do you think there's been any change to the conversation about sexuality?
100%. I think in the sense that if you're heterosexual, if you're bisexual, if you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you're transgender, whatever the vibe is that you're, that's who you, that's what you represent. Mm. And I think it's one of those things that I've always found it quite strange to me that we always like to try and define people and say, this is how it is and this is how you should be. And this is why I love that. That's one of the things that the internet and social media has really opened up and allowed. The people have got a voice now. It's like, we've got to stop the nonsense now and open it up. But also it's defined by the question. So if someone's asking the question and tries to put you in a box, then the question in itself is putting you in a box, because you're asking a question to try and say, well, we've still got divide here. Well, don't ask the question, because ultimately then you wouldn't need to worry about this. So it goes further back than just me answering something. And I think that that's why we're in a good time. This is not just one thing here, not just sexuality. We're just talking about in general. We are waking up as a world in such a great way. And I feel like that for me is a beautiful time, because there's going to be real change that's starting to happen here.
This is Shuffle, Delete, Repeat. Okay. And this is where we give you your own songs and you have to choose which you would put on shuffle, which you would delete, and which you would repeat. So we've got two different categories for you.
Okay.
The first, Craig David Throwbacks. So in there, you've got What's Your Flavor? What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. What's your flavor? What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. Rewind. When the crowd say ball, selector. Rewind. When the crowd say ball, selector. Rewind. When the crowd say ball, ball. And 7 days. Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday. I met this guy on Monday. Which would you shuffle, which would you delete, and which would you repeat?
I put 7 days would get that would get a repeat. Rewind would get the shuffle. What's Your Flavor? I wouldn't be deleting it though. I ain't gonna lie. Like, even though I'm getting boxed in a little bit here, yeah, it's the back to the children thing we were talking about. They're all my kids. I ain't gonna like disown you because you've been put in the box. Don't worry, Dad's here. I got you.
And then Craig David Fresh. Okay, so you've got When the Bassline Drops with Big Nasty. When the bassline drops, you know what to do. Going out to all of my DJs. All on you. Nothing Like This with Blonde. I ain't found nothing like this, like this. I ain't found nothing like this, like this. I ain't found nothing like this, like this. No, I ain't found nothing quite like this. And of course, Ain't Giving Up with Sigala.
Okay, so I would go, wow. Let's have Ain't Giving Up Sigala on shuffle, because that will catch you by surprise and you will turn up. Blonde, Nothing Like This. I would put, that'd be holding in that, you know when you put it on the playlist, it's like on hold to come in. So that's the one
that's gone.
It's coming.
That's deleted.
No, it's on hold. It's there. It's not deleted, because if you delete it, then you ain't going to get played. It's just put on like the next one coming up one.
Yeah.
And when the bass line drops would be repeat. On repeat. Yeah, of course. Standard.
Love it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
The music industry, right, is an industry where, as you say, if you are not the current cool, accepted, successful person, you tend to lose a lot of friends and you lose a lot of support. Did you notice that? And did you notice that difference? You know, the people who maybe weren't there for you at times when it wasn't all going good. And what lessons, I guess, have you learned from that?
I'd say, do you know what? There's always going to be an element, a handful of people who are going to be like, we've got you through thick and thin. It's like, to be honest, it's not even about the music. Are you healthy? Are you cool? Your friends and family close to you? You're cool? How are you feeling just as a human being outside of music? So once you've got that foundation, you then look at music as being, okay, this is a wonderful moment, an opportunity for me to express myself. But if you don't take yourself too seriously, that's the key. Because if you take yourself too seriously, then it's a doubt. Then it's like, oh, it's not like it used to be. And that person's not returning the phone call like they used to. And maybe we're not getting exposure. Maybe not selling as many. If you actually believe your own hype, but if you reset yourself back and say, you know what? I remember when I wasn't selling any records and I was just selling mixtapes at my barbers and going to my college and kind of selling that was like giving me a bit of fun and I was loving it and I was going out and DJing and I was probably getting paid 50 quid, having the best time of my life. If you reset back, you have to stop and look at where you're at and think, you know what? Wow, let's talk about the amount of people that you've connected with your music along the way. So I think it's you just have to be very careful about buying into everything, buying into the hype of everything that's going on. Mm. What is it that I love? Back to the basic thing I said to you again, love music and I want to make people happy. It makes me happy seeing another person listen to my song and just now I can actually have a relationship and connect back with you as a fan on Twitter and say thank you.
And did you have the freedom to do that though because of financial success? I mean, you obviously, when you were living that life in Miami, it was sort of like the vibe of you didn't have to work if you didn't need to. So did that early financial success and that money change you in terms of giving you freedom to do what you needed?
No, not really. I mean, to be honest, if it's, I say Biggie used it very well as a quote, "Mo money, mo problems," in a sense that everything comes up. The £400 to sort the leak out in the little flat that you might have been in turns into 40,000 for the bigger place to 400,000 to form. It depends on everything that moves up, the same thing runs with it. So never get fooled that you may have brought in some, you may have had success early on and financially it's giving you something. You still got bills to pay. When you come from a working class family and you've achieved all of these things, it is the most empowering thing that I look back at kids who are on the come up and I'm just thinking, just keep doing it. I was this young kid from Southampton. I wasn't from London, from the big city. I wasn't from the outskirts, doing a little vibe with the Artful Dodger. And look where we're at, man. We had this moment where peak of success with Born to Do It, had these moments where it's a roller coaster ride and you've had a low and you've come back up again and but you've now got young kids and two generations connecting with you. You're like, wow, anything's possible, man.
No, you're right. But I think the point is though, isn't it? You can't necessarily get used to it because that is when you see people who will blow entire fortunes, because it is very easy to be intoxicated by a particular lifestyle, isn't it? Especially when you're used to it.
Do you know what?
And you were living it.
Do you know what? It's, you can easily get swept up in anything if you're just not aware.
Yeah,
it's true. Like, I think, again, my foundation and my upbringing coming from a working class family was important because I'd always have in the back of my head what my dad would think about me doing this, me spending this amount of money on something. What would my dad say to me right now? And you just reset. You think, well, maybe I don't really need that. Because I think anything that I've ever really bought and thought I needed, a year or two down the line, you look back and you think, you didn't really need that. And when you stop to do that, you start to really see what is important to you. Yeah. And I found that what was important to me is to have really good people around me and to enjoy the moment. The reason that I called the new album The Time Is Now is that it's always been about moments. It's sharing relationships and stories and being able to be here and be present. Because if I'm constantly always thinking about what the next thing is, the next thing, it's like you've never learned. It's like I will just be in the same position again. You'll just be in a different place with similar kind of situation around you, but you've never learned. And what I have learned is that I'm here. I'm healthy and I'm alive and I'm making music that's impacting people's lives. And I'm just like, there's nothing more that I could ask for.
Now, digital detox, this is if you had to have just one of these things. Mm. Okay, so one Spotify playlist on repeat for the rest of your life.
Let's go for New Music Fridays.
One contact in your WhatsApp.
My mum.
One YouTube video on repeat for a week.
Somehow where someone's taken the whole movie and thrown it on there, but I would probably be checking out Devil's Advocate.
One person you follow on Twitter.
There's this guy called Dan Wooten. He's like, if you don't follow that count, then things all get wonky real quick.
You've got to do it,
don't
you?
It's true. It's just a no-brainer kind totally. Of. Like, yeah, yeah.
Unmissable. And one gadget you can't live without.
I'd say my iPhone right now.
Me too. Now, you're very in demand these days with the A-listers. Famously, one of the most sought-after wedding singers in the world. And I believe you did actually agree to perform at Jack Wilshere's wedding. Is that right?
Well, yeah, they did ask me to come and do a little performance for them. So I kind of let them know a little bit about my TS5 vibe. And yeah, they had a good time. For them to have stories of how my music had connected with them when they met and prior to that was very... I was very grateful for.
And you're quite a popular amongst the football crew. Wayne Rooney follows you on Twitter, doesn't he? Have you guys ever had any conversation? Did you know he was a fan?
I've met him a couple of times. He's a lovely guy. And to be honest, he was at one of a couple of shows that I performed at. So seeing him in the crowd and getting down and letting him enjoy and nothing like this and giving up and seeing him having a great time was good. Because you only see a lot of footballers in there.
Yep.
In their world, you know what I mean? Watching them on TV, so.
In the category of most ridiculous stories ever written about you, right? I had to ask you about the conspiracy theory of last year that you had died and been replaced by a body double, which created a big wave of attention online.
Really? Well,
where do these things come from, Craig?
To be honest, I have no idea, but... If the 2.0 version is in front of you, then I'm embodying it right now. Trust me, because we're all go, my man.
You're very real.
Very, very much real. All in the flesh, my man.
Well, now it's time for How Bizarre. So this is when you've got to think about the most bizarre things for all of these categories. Okay, Craig. So first, the most bizarre story you have ever read about yourself.
Well, it's probably the one that you just like literally said about being the body double.
Can't get much weirder.
I mean,
can
yeah,
it?
It's like to have been able to come back round again twice. But I mean, I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
What's the most bizarre party you have attended, and who else was there?
I'd have to say it's probably a TS5 party. When I was throwing them in Miami, we had a lot of people come through. If it wasn't,
Wish I had been to one of those parties.
Oh, we'll do another one at some point. But if it wasn't Afrojack or Diddy coming through, or I mean, so many, because it was in the heart, it was right in the middle of South.
But
Beach.
You don't have that apartment anymore, do you?
I still have the apartment.
You do?
Yeah, but I haven't been back there for like a good couple of years now.
No way.
It's still
so
there.
So other people live in it?
No, I still got it there. It's just like, I just made that decision to come back
Craig,
to the UK.
Craig, this is criminal. Do you know what? If you want me to go on holiday there and just look after it, water the plants.
I've been waiting for you.
I'm totally open for that.
It's there, man. Go use it. It's like, genuinely, I'm not saying it just because we're on the podcast. Go have a go
Christmas
a
holiday sorted.
Do your thing, man.
What is the most bizarre dream you have ever had about another celebrity?
Do you know what? To be honest, my dreams, they tend to, when it's other celebrities, is about working with different people. So... I would have been, but the weird one is that it's not even about anymore, but it was like my Michael Jackson thing. I was just like, the amount of times that I was thinking that I would have loved to have worked with him, David Bowie. around those times, it sort of reminded me of people that I was like...
Did you ever get to meet either of them?
No, but I had the song Hot Stuff, which I sampled from Let's Dance. And I got a response from David Bowie saying that he loved the version that I did, which was, I mean, epic for a young kid from David Bowie. I mean, it was amazing.
And what is the most bizarre gift you have received from a fan?
I've had a really beautiful elaborate cake made for me, which was like attention to detail that I was just like, wow. And they came up to me and gave it to me and I was like, wow.
Did you eat it?
I did have a little bit of a cake. Everyone's like, oh, I'm not sure if you should have. Come on, man. It's like someone's made a cake for you. Like, eat a bit of the cake. It's not going to harm you. I mean, come on.
It would be criminal not to. You've had a very busy year in the studio, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, we came off the back of Follow My Intuition last year, which released September 2016. Then we had the arena tour, which was incredible.
Mm.
And I just felt like I was in a very creative space. So we kept on writing. And writing, and then all of a sudden, those songs started. I always have like an A, B, C list of songs, and the A category was starting to kind of fill up with songs. And we were like, you know what? If we keep going at this rate, we actually could put another album out next year. And then little did I know that we'd be in a position now where the album's out January 26th of this year. So it's a fast turnaround, but good music.
And Heartline is already available to stream and download and everything. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
And you've said that this album is going to be much more of a return to your roots and much more in the vein of Born to Do It. Is that where you're at? And sort of explain why, what's changed.
The way in which the album came about was me working with a lot of young up-and-coming producers and kind of throwing myself into the unknown and being open to go into a studio with an 18, 19-year-old producer who may have heard about my music through their older brother or sister, or maybe the mum and dad from back in the day. And had this beautiful moment where they'd be like praising, like Rewind and Fill Me in 7 Days and talking about songs from the first album, which kind of fired me up because I was like, you know what? I've got a lot to prove here because at the moment we're talking about stuff that's 17, 18 years ago. So I go into the booth and up goes the track and I give everything. I just morphed back into that 15, 16-year-old kid who was creating Born to Do It. It was important for me because I felt like I needed to have that connection.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's very easy to talk about what you've done in the past. And I think that's how the Follow My Intuition album ended up being with Sigala and Blondes of this world and working with Kay Trinada. And those records, even with Big Nasty and When the Bassline Drops, it was a very young producer team that I was working with. So then this album is now me being able to say, okay, there's an R&B element of me that I haven't actually been able to fully show yet. A lot of it has been a little bit more on the dance tip. So there's going to be a treat for a lot of people who know about my stuff from before, but for the people who've grown up and now have seen the younger generation who haven't experienced it, they're going to now experience what I class as real UK R&B. So this album called The Time Is Now is everything, man. It feels like it's Born to Do It, but 2017, 2018 fresh, you know what I mean?
Now it's our one final challenge. This is the Bizarre Accent Challenge. It's something all of our guests do.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to give you, not that you need them, but just in case you're nervous, there are the lyrics to Heartline.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to ask you to just start reading them as you, Mr. Craig David, and then I'm going to randomly throw some accents at you, and we just want you to transform into that accent. Are you very good with different types of voices?
No, I'm terrible, but let's try.
This is going to be fun.
Been looking for you in all the wrong places, but I don't go there no more.
Scottish.
Every night seeing all the same faces. Now, that's a London guy.
That's a bit of Cockney.
Hello, treacle. Hello, darling. Yeah, forget that. The Scottish one's not really working out.
New York. Let's try New Yorker.
I don't even know you, but girl, I think I love you. I put my life on the line for you. I already know it's over, never fighting you again. No, sir. Well, I got to lose, I would take a chance.
How about Russian?
Vipiet, privet, как дела, нет, да, как дела. This is me translating it into
Very
Russian.
Very impressed.
Thank you, my man. Thank you.
Very impressed.
Yeah, that's about as good as we've got on the Russian.
And to end, we'll go with French.
Je ne sais pas. Sorry. We went to Spanish for a second then. Sorry, let me get my French back. No, my French is not coming through like it used to. My Spanish though. Hold tight. Let me see my flip into Spanish.
Let's in with some Spanish.
Okay, so tus ojos son muy bonitos. Estás guapísima esta noche. Quiero beber conmigo, hacer amor conmigo, lléname de Jesús solo. Yeah, this little piece of the
I love it. A bilingual accent challenge. Thank you, man.
Got a man sweating.
But Craig, you redeemed yourself. You redeemed yourself from a slow start.
Yeah, I was way off on the accents, but you know, always got room for improvement.
Well, look, thank you so much for joining us today. Heartline, currently out now to download, stream, and all of that.
Yeah.
And when is the album out?
The album's out January 26th, so you can pre-order that now. But yeah, the album's ready to go.
Amazing, Craig. Well, thank you so much,
Daniel Starr,
for joining us today. And of course, I will let you know, because I know you'll be doing it straight after this podcast, to subscribe to Bizarre Life. All you need to do on your favorite podcast providers, that could be iTunes or Apple Podcast or wherever you happen to listen to podcasts, you just need to type in Bizarre Life. You can hit subscribe and then you can listen to all of our back catalogue of episodes as well. So we had Pink on last week. That's a really, really interesting interview. Shania Twain,
great.
Simon Cowell, Celine Dion, Ed Sheeran. They are all there waiting to be listened to right now if you just subscribe to Bizarre Life. And of course, we will be back next week with another big guest as well. But Craig, thank you so much for joining us to talk about your Bizarre Life.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.